God bless you, everybody, tonight. God bless you, Times Square Church. God bless you for those that are with us online. You know, I heard something today that gladdened my heart. We were in a prayer meeting, and somebody prayed a prayer that, in a way that I'd never heard it before. And this person said, "Lord, we are an old-fashioned church." And I really like that. I want to be so old-fashioned that we go back to the book of Acts chapter 2. And that we would be a people who pray, a people who walk supernaturally with God, a people who are willing to believe God, that in spite of our weakness, that His strength will be made perfect. People who are more focused on His work than our work, more focused on the winning of the lost than anything else in our lives. The people who know the hour that we're living in, who see that this is a wicked time, that lawlessness is breaking out around this entire world. You have to know that now. And the people who are willing to turn to God, as the Church of Jesus Christ always has throughout history, in moments like these, and say, "God, won't you revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Lord, won't you have mercy on this society that, as in the days of Jonah, doesn't know its left hand from its right hand? God, would you give us a renewed heart, a singleness of passion, a fervency of spirit, a singleness of the eye? Would you help us, Lord, to have a voice again in this generation? Would you make our words count? Would you give us power? Would you let the giftings of the Holy Spirit begin to be manifest again as we choose to use your power for your glory? Would you help us to get away from the edification of men and seek to lift up the name of Jesus one more time? Would you deliver us, Lord, from the cowardice that quite often does accompany those who don't know your power and don't share your heart? Would you bring us into something of the Spirit that can only happen by the power of God? Oh, Jesus, Son of God, would you cause your light to shine one more time? You, Lord, who create this universe by the word of your mouth, you who hold everything in the palm of your hand, with such kindness, you allow your name to be cursed and blasphemed every day. And you could justly consign us all to dust in the universe, but you don't, because you love all men and women created in your image. God Almighty, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that a worldwide prayer meeting break out, such as we've never seen ever in the history of this world. I recognize that there's no exuberance of man can make this happen. There's no program that can facilitate this. This has to be a work of the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, we just simply call out to you for the honor of your name, for the glory of your name, and we ask you to do what only you can do. We can't do this. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the resource. And left to ourselves, we would further darken the testimony of your name. But Almighty God, I thank you with all my heart that I have discovered you to be a God of mercy. I've discovered you to be a God who's not ashamed to walk alongside us, even though at times we don't truly honor you the way we should. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, I ask you again in this generation to perform miracles. Open prison doors, give sight to those that are blind. Heal those that have been wounded. Raise up those that have no strength in themselves. Let the poor have the treasure of God's power and God's salvation revealed to us one more time. God Almighty, we're not asking for the saving of nations, we're asking for the saving of people. Let the nations go the way they want to go. But, oh God, we ask you, Lord, to stretch out your hands and be merciful to people in this hour in which we're living. We ask you for this church, Lord, that you'd be merciful to Times Square Church. And you would help us, Lord, where we fail. You would temper us where we've been strong. You'd help us to give you the glory all the days of our lives. You would help us to long for you more than we do for life. You'd help us, Lord, to be engaged in your work. And if you should prosper it, to not touch the glory. You'd help us to be careful how we speak about the things that you choose to do. We ask you to help us to love our enemies when they will slander us. Oh, God Almighty, help us, Lord, to nurture those that will come into your kingdom who are young, they're confused, and many have been living in places that have the smell of death still on them. Help us, Lord, to represent you as you ran down that road and covered that prodigal son with your righteousness and empowered him with your power and invited him on a journey. Help us, oh God, not to exclude anyone from your kingdom. You are merciful to all who call on your name. Help us to fast. Help us to pray. Help us, Lord, to seek you. Help us to walk with you, God, with all of our heart. And as you stretch out your hand and do the miracles that you've been doing, oh God, I pray that you'd help us not to touch the glory, not to boast of ourselves. Help us to be kind. Jesus, Son of God, don't let the city die in its sin without hearing about you and having a chance to turn to you. This is what we ask for. We ask for the conviction of your Holy Spirit to touch our streets, our boroughs, our colleges, our schools, places of business, even places where there's nothing but evil that goes on. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit come. We ask you to bring men and women to your house and cause them to turn from sin and turn to you. We ask you for courage to stand in the face of the fury of the enemies of God that will come against us. We ask you, God, for a burden of love for the lost that will cast out fear. We ask you for the power to stand in righteousness, everything that comes from your hand. And, oh, God, I thank you for hearing this prayer. I thank you, Lord, that as we fast for these 3 days, that you will be faithful to simply be who you are in our midst. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank God. I am absolutely overwhelmed at the praise reports that are coming in. God is answering prayer. We are on the threshold of something that will glorify his name. The Lord has chosen to glorify his own name. In some of the services, I've suggested to people that they speak to their pastors about beginning a prayer meeting. A couple of praise reports came in today. It says, from Tampa, Florida, thank you, Pastor. After much prayer, the pastors have asked me to start a prayer service. We had 4 men on February the 20th. We need 3 to 6 months a head start before we invite the women. Please pray for us. To God be the glory. I don't know. I think you should invite the women now, as far as I'm concerned. Many of the women know how to pray because they've had to live with you guys all these years. They know how to pray. And from Colorado, so we prayed for our pastor of a large church to call a prayer meeting, and he did, with an exclamation point. Pray for continued prayer meetings in our church and for a great revival in our body, in this church body. Thank God for this. Last week we had to cancel the time of fasting and prayer because of the obvious snowstorm that we should have had here in New York City. I came into the sanctuary on Wednesday, and there were 2 ladies here from Sacramento, California, who had flown in to be part of the fast with us, And they were so disappointed because it was canceled. So I invited them to come into the radio station with me. We're doing some radio spots that are out going out across the nation now. And only to find out that God has miraculously answered some of their prayers. And I asked one of the ladies, both of them actually, but I want to share one this evening. A lady who shared in a devotional, which will go across the nation, of a prayer request that she submitted and how God answered. I'd like to pray that right now before we go to prayer, if we can, please. In our worldwide prayer meeting here at New York City on Tuesday nights, God is doing the miraculous. We have Cameron here in studio with us today from Sacramento, California. She's a hospital worker. She wants to tell us about a miracle. Cameron, tell us about it.
Yes, my friend had called and told me that she had just been diagnosed with hip bone cancer and was devastated, but that she believed God for healing. I placed her name on the World Wide Web prayer, and she went back to the doctor a week later and asked the doctor for another scan and blood tests. Sure enough, the scans were perfect. The doctor just kept saying, "This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen." And she told the doctor, "But the Lord has healed me."
That's an incredible story. Thank God for that. For those that are listening today, remember, God is answering prayer. It's time to pray. Turn to Him with all of your heart. Let's believe Him together.
The Lord is doing,
in our worldwide prayer meeting here,
Lord's doing marvelous miracles. That's a phenomenal. And that lady, you never would have told me that had I not asked her in the studio, of somebody who's just a patient, a friend, gets healed of bone cancer. And if you take time to go on our website, you're going to see that there's God's touching people in a physical way, in marvelous ways. Now, I'm going to read to you a few, and then we're going to pray for healing this evening. I'm going to ask Lisa Cammie to come. The microphone is on the floor beside my chair, Pastor Patrick, if you can give it to Lisa. And we're going to pray for healing tonight. We're going to believe God for healing. Please pray from West Hempstead, New York, for baby Piper, who had heart surgery last Tuesday. Pray for God to heal this baby. Pray that God, from Ithaca, New York, pray that God heals me of unbearable nerve pain in my feet due to trauma injury. I can't take medication. I'm losing hope. I ask for an undeniable miracle. Jan, we're going to believe with you in Ithaca tonight that God give you your miracle. New York City, pray for a miracle of healing for my mother, who's diagnosed with cancer. She has a blood clot in her lungs and leg. She's been heavily sedated and hasn't woken up yet. Here in the U.S., Butler, New Jersey, my friend is a diabetic and has several cysts. Infection almost killed her. No insurance. She needs a miracle. Richmond Hill, New York, pray for healing for my sister, who has an unknown illness. It's left her bedridden and without strength. Riverglade, Canada, pray for Teresa, a young mom of three who may have a neuromuscular disorder. Her health is quickly deteriorating and it's very serious. Thank you. Mexico, my 22-year-old son, Luis, is just diagnosed with cancer. Pray for his successful recovery to health in the name of Jesus. Queens, New York, pray for Ariel Rodriguez. He's in a coma due to a hit-and-run car accident. Rock Hill, South Carolina, pray for Ann. She'll be having a tumor removed from her brain on Tuesday. From Wisconsin, pray for my cousin Pam, has a very aggressive terminal cancer with just a month to live, suffered two strokes, now has pneumonia. Pray for salvation and healing. Austin, Texas, my cousin's husband, Steve, was operated on. The doctors found brain cancer and gave him under 2 years to live. Please pray for his healing. Haymarket, Virginia, pray for Tina from New Jersey. She has stage 4 cancer, a new believer. She's young, in her late 30s. Pray for complete healing for God's glory. Again, Wisconsin. My cousin has found out she has terminal cancer, just months to live. Pray for salvation. Elmsford, New York. My friend Bob came down with throat cancer. His faith is weak due to a strict religious background. Please pray for the Lord's intervention. Asheville, North Carolina. My best friend's dad's about to die from cancer. Please pray that the Lord shows his mercy and heals him. It just goes on and on. There's so many, so many cancers. Syracuse, pray for 9-year-old Julian. He has brain cancers. And doctors say there's nothing more to do. We're asking for a healing, oh God. There's so many. There's so many. It's just amazing the numbers of cancers here that people are. Estero, Florida, my brother Joseph has been diagnosed with brain cancer. Please pray for healing, God's strength, and a peace that passes all understanding. Almost most of the prayer requests for healing are for cancer tonight. So let's believe God. Let's stand together, if you will, and we're going to believe God for healing. The early church, you remember, they prayed. When the threat of darkness came against them, remember in Acts chapter 4, they prayed. And they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And grant that with great boldness we may speak your word. In other words, God, stretch forth your hand so powerfully that we won't even hesitate to tell people that God can set you free and deliver you and restore your marriage, heal your sick in body. For the honor of Christ, this was when they prayed that he be honored, when it was about his glory, when it wasn't about having the biggest church in town, when it wasn't about having our flagpole taller than somebody else's, when it was just about him. The scripture says the place where they stood was shaken, and God came down and filled them with his Holy Spirit again, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And you and I know that great, great healings were manifested through the church of Jesus Christ. This is an hour for you and I to pray and not draw back. This is an hour for simply to hold God to his word and believe what he says. It's an hour to pray for healings of cancer. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is going to glorify his own name again. I believe that with everything in me. And so tonight, as Lisa prays, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands to the Lord and lift your voice to God. And you may know somebody who's sick, an acquaintance, a friend, maybe somebody that I read this evening, maybe this 9-year-old boy that's not given much hope. Let's cry out to God. Let's believe God. Let's stand on the word of God. Jesus Christ heals. The power of that blood destroyed the power of sin and death and disease. I believe that with all my heart. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Let's believe God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What an amazing privilege that we could stand before you tonight, God. Lord, we stand and we're calling on a friend, Lord. You call us. You say you're our friend, God, and we're standing here tonight. We're coming to you as a friend who invites us to that throne of grace, Lord, in our time of need, to a God, Lord, that understands everything that we're struggling with, every pain, every heartache, every sickness, every disease, God. Lord, you are a man of sorrows, God, acquainted with grief, Lord. And Lord, we hid as it were our face from you, but you were wounded for our transgressions, God. Lord, you were marred beyond recognition, and yet you stayed on that cross, Lord, and you suffered, and Lord, you bled, God, and one drop of that blood, Lord, one drop of that blood, God, could dismantle, God, any sickness, God, could break asunder, God, anything and everything, Lord, and we stand here tonight, Lord. We come to you, God. We know that you're our friend, God. You're not a grouchy God. You're not a grumpy God. You're not a God that won't wake up when we call on you. But you are a gracious God, a merciful God that calls us to come with an audacity to pray these things to you, God, and ask you for the Holy Spirit and ask you to stretch forth your hand and ask you, God, that the place that we're standing on would be shaken and filled, God. And Lord, so we're crying out to you on behalf of that with an audacity, with something inside of us that will not be denied, God, because you care, because you hear, because you're asking us to ask. Lord, you said, is this the fast that you've chosen to undo heavy burdens and to break the bonds of wickedness? And you are the God, Lord, that heals. You're the God that let that wood fall in the water, God, Lord, and you changed everything because that cross that we're coming to, Lord, that you said, Lord, that we could come boldly, on behalf of my brothers and sisters, this little boy, Lord, even I think about my friend Michael, Lord, with pancreatic cancer, God, a wise guy who was an atheist, God, but now he's calling out to you. He's praying to you, God, and I'm asking you tonight, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand and that you would heal, Lord, and that there would be a shaking, that there would be a filling, that there would be a stirring, Lord. This little boy, we cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. The blind, the lame, the sick, Lord, all that you want to do tonight, God, in one fell swoop, God. Because we're asking you, Lord, believing you, Lord, that nothing is going to be the same after this prayer, that you are changing, that you are breaking, Lord, every bondage, every infirmity, God. Lord, I think about that woman, Lord, that she just broke that camp. She had to reach you. She had to touch you, Lord, and you stopped, Lord, because you felt the touch. Lord, I know you're waiting for us to touch you so you can touch this knowledge, God, that we can reach out, that you would stop everything. Who touched me? And the blood, Lord. The blood of the cross, God, could heal every disease, God. Lord, we're asking you because you're asking us to ask, believing, God, that cancer is being healed right now, God. Thank you for the testimonies yesterday. But you are right here, right now, resurrection kind of God that can open graves and heal and deliver and set free. Thank you for these testimonies, God. But these people that we're praying for, this little boy, Lord, raise him up, God, touch him. Lord, that little boy that was in the coffin, Lord, you told him, arise and get up. And he had an instant revelation of your salvation, God. And I pray tonight, though these people may not know you, that you would touch them with an instant revelation and they would begin to become healers and deliverers, God, that you would free them and make them, cause them to bring freedom and heal them and make them healers and deliver them, that they may be deliverers, God. And I thank you for this and I bless you for it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God, for healing, Lord. Thank you for victory and power. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for doing the miraculous again in our midst. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're living in a time that I believe the Bible has clearly described when there's an outbreak of lawlessness and we see this insanity that's happening in the Middle East right now, all in the name of religion, and the violence and the evil and the seemingly powerlessness of so many to find the strength to rise up and do something about it. But I pray with all my heart that there be a worldwide outbreak of prayer, a worldwide outbreak. In Africa, in the Middle East, in China, in India, in Canada, in the United States, in Central America, in South America, that there be an absolute, in Australia, an absolute outbreak of prayer. The people start to meet, they start to pray, start to petition God. God begins to move his hand. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, we ask you in your precious name, God, what you did one time in New York City in 1857, that you would do again around the world. Lord, that you turn people to prayer everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. People begin to pray. An absolute outbreak of prayer. God, so powerful that people who don't know Christ would begin to join in and say, I'm looking for help. I'm looking for hope. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for stability. I'm looking for a future. Jesus, Son of God, we ask you in your precious name, Lord,
God, let there be an outbreak of prayer all around the world, Lord. Let there be no hindrance to this outbreak of prayer. Father, we thank you for this, oh God, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. Stephanie, come lead us in prayer, please, if you will. And would you turn in a circle of four or five people right now, and let's begin to pray. Call out for countries, for places around the world as the Lord puts it on your heart, that prayer meetings begin to break out everywhere. God is answering prayer. God is answering prayer. God is answering prayer. Let that be the cry of our heart. Let it be tonight as we pray.
God, you say that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will turn and I will heal their land. God, we're asking right now for an outbreak of prayer across the nations, Lord Jesus, that you would call your people to pray, Lord God, and they would hear that cry and they would call upon your name and they would see you answer their prayers, Lord Jesus. You say that the prayers of the saints, Lord God, are like a fragrant incense being offered to you. God, we're asking right now that you would call your saints to prayer, that you would call them to their knees to seek your face, to seek your will for this land and the nation and the nations, Lord Jesus, that across the world, Lord God, the times are getting darker, Lord God, but you are light and you are shining, Lord God, and you are the savior of the world, Lord God. You are the deliverer. You are the healer. You are the restorer. You have the victory. Jesus, we declare that tonight. You have the victory in so many of these situations across the world, Lord Jesus. As we're hearing about situations in the Middle East, Lord Jesus, you have the victory, Lord Jesus. When we're hearing about situations in Africa, Lord God, you have the victory, Lord Jesus. When we're hearing about unrighteousness being spread across the land, Lord Jesus, you are our righteousness, Lord Jesus. We're asking right now that we can cry out to you, Lord Jesus, and you will answer every single prayer of our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would hear the cries of the nations, Lord Jesus, and you would come and you would deliver, Lord Jesus, you would set free, Lord God. We thank you that you desire to set the captives free, Lord Jesus. You desire for righteousness back in these nations, Lord Jesus, and in our nation right now. Lord God, we're crying out to you, Lord God, for your mercy and your hand upon our nation, Lord God. Your hand upon our nations, Lord Jesus. God, tonight, Lord God, we're reading the news of so many devastating situations, Lord God, but we know that you're bigger. We know that you are stronger. We know that you are higher because you are the name above every single name. We thank you that you are the king above every king, that the governments are on your shoulders. And we declare that right now over the nations, that you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, you are the Deliverer, you are the Restorer, you are God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, that as we seek your face, as we cry out to you, Lord God, that you would answer, Lord God, in a way that only you can answer, with signs and with wonders and with miracles, Lord Jesus. Go asking right now, Lord God, that you would call your people to pray like never before, and they would hear that call and they would get to their knees and they would cry out to you, that they would cry out to you knowing that you desire to answer them, knowing that you desire, Lord God, to seek, Lord God, for the things that we're seeking for, Lord God. God, we thank you. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord God, we just pray right now people would see the power of prayer. They would see the power of crying out to you, Lord God, and seeking your face, Lord God, knowing that you will answer, knowing that you will answer in a way that only you can. God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to spend these next few days seeking your face. We thank you for this opportunity to fast, Lord God, and pray, Lord God, for the things that are on your heart, Lord Jesus. And we just pray right now, Lord God, that you would across the nations, Lord God, do the same thing. You would give people a heart's desire to pray and to fast and to seek you and seek your face in this time, Lord God, because we know that only you can answer. We know that you are the only way. We know that you are the only hope. God, we thank you and we praise you. And we trust you because we know that you are doing a work, Lord God. You are doing a deep work, Lord God. You are doing a new thing, Lord God, because you desire for all people to be saved. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.
For those that are joining with us online tonight, we are fasting here in New York City for 3 days, all day today, tomorrow, and the next day on Thursday. And we are asking God to keep us alive as a local congregation. Give us spiritual life to let the light of his testimony and life shine brightly from this local church congregation here in the middle of Times Square in New York City. And so for those that are online this evening, I'm going to ask if you will be kind enough to join with us here in praying for this church, that God would help us, give us the grace and the strength that we need to be the people that he has called us to be. We don't want to go ahead of him, and we don't want to lag behind him. We just want to be that testimony that he had in his heart when he founded this church almost 28 years ago now. I'm going to ask Lulie McCoy if she'd come and lead us in this prayer. And for those that are here with us this evening, we pray for this church. Pray for the testimony. Pray for the choir. Pray for the orchestra. Pray for the pastors, the elders. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the congregation, that we don't get so familiar with the presence of God that we start to take his presence here for granted. We have been blessed with his presence. I have heard so many testimonies now over the years of visitors who come in who are not followers of Christ as we have known him. And they begin to weep the moment they come into the sanctuary because there's an abiding presence of God's Holy Spirit here. And we don't take that lightly or for granted. And so I'm going to ask tonight that you'd lift your voice with all of us here. This is why we're fasting, saying, God, keep us alive in you and help us to be that which you've called us to be. When this church was founded 28 years ago by Pastor David Wilkerson, he felt in his heart, the Lord told him that this church would be a lighthouse in a dark time that was to come. And the dark times are here. When we see what's happening with ISIS in the Middle East and the confusion among nations and evil becoming good and good becoming evil, even in our own society, everything is turning upside down. Even the testimony of God, the name of Christ, is being pushed out of our borders almost hourly now. It's time now for this lighthouse to begin to shine. It's time for us, as I shared a couple of Sundays ago, polish the windows, check the strength of the light, make sure we're ready, because I believe that God has a divine purpose he has for every church. And I'm not diminishing the purpose that God has for any church in this nation, but my focus this evening is for the purpose that he has for this church, that the light that is going to shine from this church not be dim, not be dull, not be hindered, that we would be, as a congregation, everything that God wants us to be, and that his name would be glorified and spread abroad. So if you would pray with us tonight, if you'd lift your voice and your heart tonight, nobody in this house should ever sit on a prayer meeting. The dead do not praise the Lord, neither those that go down into silence. We lift our voice to God. We are coming boldly to the throne of grace, not in our strength, but in our weakness, not bragging of what we have done and are going to do, but recognizing that apart from the hand of God on us, we will fail, we'll falter, we'll veer to the left, we'll veer to the right of what we're called to be. It's mercy and grace that will keep us. If we truly want to honor the name of Christ, that's the one thing that will keep us in the days ahead. So I'm asking you tonight to lift your voice with Lulie as she leads us in prayer for this church.
Dear Lord Jesus, we come humbly before you, Lord. We humble ourselves, oh God. We're just a church, Lord Jesus, that you started in the middle of New York City in 1987, oh God. And you've brought us this far, Lord God. It's been your grace, Lord God. It's been your Holy Spirit, Lord God. It's been you all along, Lord God. And even today, Lord God, you brought us, Lord, that we could come once again to your throne of grace and ask, oh God, ask for everything that we're going to need in the days to come. Ask that this church, oh God, we'd continue to be a light in the midst of darkness, Lord. Oh God, the days are growing darker, Lord God, but we ask that this church would be a light that continues to shine, Lord God. And that's not just our pastors or our leaders, oh God, but every single person that is in this church, oh God. Every single person online that calls Times Square Church their home church, oh God. Father, we ask you for grace, Lord. We are just simple people, oh God. from 104 nations, oh God. Lord, and we just came with many testimonies, Lord God, of what you've done in our lives, oh God. We are weak, but you are strong, Lord God. We are poor, but you are rich, oh God. We are nothing, but you are everything, Lord Jesus. You are everything. You are more than able, oh God. Lord, shape us, oh God. Lord, make us the lighthouse that we need to be in the coming storm, oh God. Father, guide us, Lord. You took your people through the sea, Lord God. You brought them out on the other side, and they had a song of praise. Lord, we are asking you for a song of praise. We're asking you for many people to come with us, oh God, when we declare the victory on the other side, oh God. We're asking you for children. We're asking you for youth, oh God, for our young people, oh God. We are asking you, Lord, that we would have a heart for all of these people, Lord God, that need you, that don't know you, that are going to be afraid, oh God. We don't know what's coming. Father, help us, oh God. Help us to even know what to pray, Lord God. Help us to know how to humble ourselves, oh God. You said if my people would humble themselves, Lord God, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, oh God, that you would answer, Lord, and forgive our sins and heal the land, Lord God. Father, use us, oh God. Use us, oh God. Let us not rest on our laurels or what has gone before, oh God, but open up a path, oh God. And help us to stand, oh God. Give us the strength and courage that we're going to need, oh God. And Father, I pray for our pastors. I lift them up to you, Lord God. They're only men, but they're filled with your Holy Spirit, Father. I ask for a double portion of your Spirit. I ask for more of you, oh God, in them. Help them, Lord God, to lead this church into the next phase, oh God, of where we need to go, Lord God. Help this church, Lord God, to be a light in New York City. God, we don't know what's coming to this city. We don't know what's coming to this world, oh God, but we know the God that is over us. We know the God that established this church. We know the God that began the work, and we know the God that's going to finish it. To you be the honor and the glory, oh God, for what Times Square Church will stand and be in the days to come, oh God. We pray for all those people that are joining us online that are this church, oh God. We pray that you will raise them up and strengthen them and give them courage, oh God, to stand in their communities, oh God. We're a big church, oh God. We're in many places, oh God. Help us to be what you've called us to be in this hour, oh God. Like Pastor Carter says, help us to clean the windows and shine the floors and make this into a house where many will come, oh God, that our doors will be open, that no one, Lord God, would be left outside, that everyone will be welcome, and that those who come here, Lord God, will find you, will find truth, will find life, will find salvation, will find deliverance, oh God. And I thank you, Lord. We are nothing, Lord, but you are everything, oh God. You are everything, and you will do exactly what you've purposed to do, oh God. You will finish the work, and for this, Lord God, your name will be lifted high, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to share with you just a couple thoughts for about 5 minutes or so before we pray again. John chapter 21, the scripture tells us that Simon Peter, Thomas, the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And the scripture, of course, tells us there was 153 fish in that net, probably one of the biggest catches they'd ever had in their entire life. And this story represents something to you and I, specifically about the time in which we're now living. If you go back to John chapter 20, Jesus was raised from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He gave them of his Holy Spirit. He said in John chapter 20 and 22, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Told them their ministry and mission was to be able to reach out to people and tell them when their sins were forgiven. And he commissioned them. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so now I'm sending you." And so even with all of this, and after all of this, Peter, who was always strong in himself, he always full of ideas,
seemingly could never let go of his ideas. And he got the idea to go fishing. And this is the dilemma we face when human reasoning takes over the work of God. We think it's a good thing. It's got some measure of truth in it. We strategize as to how we're going to do the work that we've been called to do, and we go out, and with a great deal of fanfare and human effort and human zeal, we head out to do the work of God. But we fish all night and find that we're not catching anything. If you look statistically at what's happening in the church in America today, many churches are on the decline now. And even Pentecostal churches, a lot of the growth is strictly by assimilation now of church organizations bringing in other independent churches. That's how they're growing. They're not growing by new birth. Fishing all night and catching nothing. We have fished as a church age. We've used strategies. We've used flashing lights, smoke machines, you name it. We've tried every conceivable gimmick to attract the fish, but they don't come. And now we find ourselves on the dawn of another day. A new era, really, in history has come to us. And I find Jesus standing on the shore one more time saying, "Hey, how you doing? Have you caught anything lately?" And they just said, "No." And he said, "Cast the net on the right side and you'll find some." In other words, start doing it God's way. As I said earlier in the service, go back to the old-fashioned way of doing things, where you go into the prayer closet, you get your power, you get your instruction from God, and you come out and begin to do things God's way. And when churches are operating with human strategy, then the focus turns from the work of God to self. Turns to the person with the loudest voice, the one with the brightest ideas, the one who has some new gimmick as to how we're going to get the fish to somehow come into our nets. And we've had, no doubt, our share of this in our generation. I've been around 38 years now in the kingdom of God, and I've seen most everything. Some strategies have a bit of merit, and others are just simply absurd. We think the more flash and dance we can create, the more people are going to come into the house of God. We do everything from, I don't even know where to start from what I've seen over the years. From the false prophesyings, to the shakings, to barking, to rolling, to clucking, to coffee, to smoke, to lights. And we're not catching anything. Jesus said, "Well, why don't you just listen to my voice? Why don't you just do it the way I told you to do it? Why don't you get back to the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ?" They weren't satisfied. They had no food. They had nothing that satisfied all of their effort. And then after they drew the fish in, when they listened to his voice, he said, "Bring some of the fish now that you've caught." And he put them obviously on the fire. And as they were partaking of this, he then asked them the question, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And of course, Peter said, "Yes, of course, I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep." In other words, you are being nurtured because you've obeyed me. You're tasting. It satisfies you. The desire of your heart is being met. You're finding the fruit of your labors has come back to give you nurture. Now feed my sheep with this understanding. Feed my sheep with the simplicity of doing the work of God. Feed my church with the understanding that we're not left on the earth just to be a bless me club. We're not left on the earth to try to outshine our neighbors down the road and be the biggest, baddest church in town. We're left on the earth to win the lost. We're left on the earth for that particular reason. We're left on the earth to reach out to those that don't have anybody that loves them. We're to reach out to the oppressed, to the addicted, to the afflicted, to the marginalized, to the nobodies, to the nothings of society, to the rich, to the poor, to all men, everywhere, equally before God, and tell them that God loves them. This incredible net that God gives to us is this net of his love, this net of the message of God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So many people running around looking for God because they've left the work of God in the pursuit of God, which is so ironic. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They left the work of God in the pursuit of God. And many, many churches have done that in our generation. We all need to get back to the simplicity of winning the lost for Jesus Christ. That is the work of God. That's the work of God. Of living to be a testimony of him. Of bringing those that are outside of God's kingdom into his house. Of nurturing them, of loving them, of helping them, of feeding them. Feeding his sheep and feeding his lambs. And telling them, if you want to find meaning in life, you too begin to reach out and tell somebody else what God has done for you. I want to pray tonight for the church at large, this church, and for the church body at large, that we would simply get rid of the gimmickry and get back to the work of God, get back to the simplicity of what we're called to do. We're called to allow God to be God in us, to change us from image to image and glory to glory. And you and I are called to be irrefutable proof of the fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of humanity and was raised from the dead. We are called to have transformed lives. We are called to have new hearts, new minds, new vision, new purpose. We're called to see men the way God sees people. We're called to reach out to the most unlovable, the least likely, and tell them that God has a plan for everybody's life. He can bring us out of wherever we are into something phenomenal for his glory and for his namesake and for his kingdom. That is the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. When we leave that work, we move into the theater of the absurd. We move to practices. We move to all kinds of things that strictly don't. We think they attract the lost, and they don't. Jesus said, basically, do it my way. And watch what will happen. Here in Times Square Church on Sunday nights, just a simple preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, preceded by usually two or three testimonies of people whose lives have been radically transformed on the inside. It may not look like it on the outside sometimes, but on the inside, they can testify, this is what I used to be. Jesus reached out to me. This is what I'm becoming today. And then we give an altar call. And generally, there's no less than, I'm safe to say, 40, 50, 60 people come forward, many of them for the first time giving their lives to Jesus Christ. I thank God for that with all of my heart. I want to pray. I want to pray with all my heart tonight. And I'd like you to join me. We're not everybody's instructor, and we're not standing as the judge of other churches. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I thank God for whoever is doing what in the name of God. But I do believe there is a work that we can enter into that truly, truly will bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and bring men and women home again to the saving knowledge of who he is. If we're willing to do this, if we're willing to simply do it God's way in the simplicity of prayer and faith and obedience and speaking and telling people what God has done for us in the simple preaching of this incredible message of the Son of God coming to earth, dying on a cross so that we might be reconciled again to God. We didn't really ever need to make it more complicated than that. The preaching of the gospel still works. If we will cast the net on the right side of the boat, we'd be amazed what God is going to do in this generation. Oh, thank God for that. I thank God with all my heart. Would you stand, please? Would you stand this evening? I'm going to ask Elder Jerry Hampton if he'd come, one of our elders here at Times Square Church, and lead us in this prayer, that we would return as a body to the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching out to the lost, that we would find our strength and purpose there, that God's people would be delivered from all of the gimmickry,
all of the foolishness, all of the things that have come. And you know what I'm talking about, because many people online, you're in places where you just simply can't find anybody who just preaches the gospel anymore. You understand what I'm talking about. Let us pray like we've never prayed before. Oh, God, deliver your people. God, deliver your people from these fruitless fishing expeditions, these things that are governed by the minds of men. And don't do anything for the kingdom of God. And leave those that are in the boat so hungry, so unsatisfied, walking from mountain to mountain, looking for some kind of reason and purpose for Christianity on the earth. And the purpose has been there all along if we're willing to hear it. I hear Jesus calling again. I hear him. I hear him saying, my sons, my daughters, have you caught anything yet? How's it going? How's it been? It's been a long night, hasn't it? You've toiled and labored and thrown in the nets, and what's it producing? And I can hear the disciples saying, nothing, nothing, nothing worth talking about. Then just try it this way. Try doing it my way. Try obeying me. Try following me. And when you have found this harvest, then feed my sheep and tell them it's not any deeper than just obeying me in simplicity. Thank God for that. Thank God. Folks, I'm going to ask you to lift your voice tonight and let's pray that the Church of Jesus Christ be delivered from human energy and get back again to the work of God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, lift your voice up to the Lord even now. God, thank you. Thank you for the word of encouragement that you just gave us, Lord, through our pastor, to return to the simplicity of who you are, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we were all saved because of the simplicity of the gospel. It wasn't complicated. We understood the gospel. We understood the cross. We understood our sin. We understood that you're the Savior. And God, we ask that we would return to that as a church once again throughout this nation. We would return to the simplicity of the gospel. Oh God, let us abandon our own plans for the plans of God. Lord, it's not our will, but your will be done. It's not our strategy. It's not our ways, God. Let us abandon the thinking of the human mind, the thinking, God, that we can figure this out and depend only on the Holy Spirit. God, we ask tonight that in each one of our lives, you would show us how to cast the net on the right side. The right side to simply do your will, to simply do what you've called us to do. Jesus, we call on your name. And we ask God, give us a heart. Give us a heart that wants to return to the ways of God, to return to listening for your voice, the return for reading the word of God and just being in prayer to hear your heart, to hear your heartbeat. Let us return to that, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let every voice here tonight call out on your name even now, that we would know your voice. We would know the simplicity of your voice. God, we don't have to put our hand into your side to see if you're real. We can hear your voice and you'll tell us where to cast our net. You'll tell us what your will is for our life. We ask for the simplicity of that, God. Hallelujah. Lord, no strategy of man, but the divine move of the Holy Spirit of God. Only by your Spirit. Only by the voice of God. Only by the touch of Jesus Christ in our life. God, our strategies fail, but the voice of God lives forever. Your word lives and abides forever. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the everlasting life that you have given us, God, let us return to that. For that is your work. That is the work of the church. That is the work of God today. Hallelujah. God, strengthen us. Revive us, oh God. Revive us in the name of Jesus. Revive us, God. Revive us tonight, Lord. Lord, let the Holy Spirit move on us in a way that we've not known before. Hallelujah. For the glory of your name, the honor of your name, the majesty of your name. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus Christ that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, we lift your name up. And we believe that your word says that if we lift your name up, you will draw us to yourself. It's that simple. We lift up the name of Jesus, not this church, but we pray for this church that we will glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your glory come in our lives, God. Let the new glory come in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let us be a testimony to who you are, God. A testimony to your goodness, a testimony to your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, let us pour out your spirit. Let it rain on us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh God, let us cast our net on the right side. Let us forget our own plans, but simply do what your word tells us to do. God, you're a miracle God, and you will be faithful to your word just like you have been. Every promise tonight, Lord, let it be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Let us return to the closet of prayer. Let us return to our devotions. Let us return to worshiping God. Hallelujah. Father, we call on your name and we give you thanks. We give you thanks, mighty God. We worship you. We worship you. And we glorify your name for who you are, your matchless name. Hallelujah. You're good to us. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. We honor your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know what I love about the Lord is, and you need to take this to heart, that when those early disciples, when they missed it, he didn't replace them. You know, there's a lot of ministers who have missed it. I've missed it in parts of my life, but thank God he doesn't replace us. He calls us back to himself again. He calls us. And that's the cry of my heart. God begin to call his men and his women that he has placed in pulpits across the nations back to himself again and brings them back to the simplicity of obeying, hearing and obeying his voice. Oh, thank God. It brings such life into the heart. It changes everything. It takes away the labor and the drudgery of trying to, in a sense, present the kingdom of God to people. And it allows us to let God just simply present himself through us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I praise you with all my heart. I praise you with all my heart, Lord God, that it's not a burden to live for you. It's not a burden to serve you. It's life. It's absolute life to live for you, Lord. I thank you, God. Lord, we lift up tonight every burdened minister, every pastor who's bowed down, everyone who's discouraged, God, who's been in pulpits, Lord, and for whatever reason have lost heart and they've labored and caught nothing. I ask, oh God, that you raise these men and women up again, that you speak to their heart again, that you draw them back to you again, that you feed them again. My God, that you commission them again into your work, Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, God, set men and women aflame for you again in this generation. Many who've lost heart, they've lost direction, they've lost hope. God, bring them back to life again. Breathe, Lord, God, as you did in the days of Ezekiel when you breathed onto a valley of dry bones and brought them back to life again. Oh, God, breathe on your church and bring your church back to life. Bring your church back to life, oh God. May we be a contrast in this earth that cannot be denied. My God, we stand against every weapon of hell that's formed against every man and woman of God. We stand against you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say to you, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. This generation doesn't belong to you. We claim this generation for the Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ,
We claim the souls of men and women and children in this generation. Stand back and see the salvation of our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. 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 No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I'm free. You want to dance? You dance. You want to shout? You shout. You want to clap your hands? You clap your hands. Sing with us tonight, those that are online. Sing with us in your house, your apartment, wherever you are. Freedom. Jesus Christ said you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are a free people. Let's sing with all our heart tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those that are with us online tonight, remember we'll be back live again tomorrow night from 7 till 8:30-ish. And again on Thursday night. Tell your friends about this meeting. Let them know on Twitter and Facebook and any other way you can. Let them know about this meeting. There's no way the devil's getting the last word in this generation. There's no way. There is no way. There's no way. There's no way. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. And so for those that are online around the world, come back in again tomorrow night. And don't ever buy the lie that you're alone. You're not. There's about 1,800 people here tonight in New York City that are fasting and praying with you and for you, believing God for freedom and victory. And so we're going to turn the cameras around right now. And from New York City to everybody online, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.